Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, July 16th, day number 197 of 2013. And tonight we're going to be catching up with our friends at the Pedro Pan organization in Miami. We're going to be speaking with Maria de la Milera, who is second vice president of that organization. And we're going to catch up with what's going on, some of the latest stories. As you know, there was recently a street that was named after Pedro Pan, and that's a wonderful thing that we recognize the great legacy and that we can pass on to our children and grandchildren so that they will always remember the sacrifice of their parents and also of their grandparents. So we'll be talking to Maria in a couple of minutes about what's going on down in Pedro Pan in Miami. My book, Cubanos in Wisconsin, let me tell you a little bit about that. My book, Cubanos in Wisconsin, it's available in print as well as Kindle. You can also go to the website, by the way, speaking of Cuban grandparents and Cuban parents, if you want to buy the book and dedicate the book to your Cuban grandfather or Cuban friend. You know, the other day I had a fellow say to me, you know, I had a great Cuban teacher when I was growing up, had a great Spanish teacher in high school, Cuban teacher, when I was growing up. So he got his old teacher, who's now retired, and in his 80s, he got him a copy of the book, and I was very, very pleased to dedicate that book to that old friend. And that's the kind of thing that you can do through the website. You can order books and request a special dedicated copy. So we encourage you to do that. It's always our pleasure to do it. Just go to the website, click on the special button, and we'll be more than happy to do that. A couple of things of on this day in history before we get to Maria. On this day in 1945, the United States tested for the first time the atomic bomb. The interesting thing about that is that within a month, of course, two of those bombs would be used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it was, of course, it was dropping those two bombs that brought at least the Pacific side of the war to a conclusion when Japan surrendered a couple of months later. And here's one that I remember. I remember this one. I guess that just shows you that I'm getting old. 1969, on this day, Apollo 11 took off for the moon. Of course, their destination was the moon. Neil Armstrong was on that Apollo mission. And Neil Collins, that was the other one. I can't remember the other fellow right now. Forgive me for forgetting. But those three men took off for the moon today in 1969. And, of course, in a few days later, Neil Armstrong would walk on the moon. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Maria right after this. Well, it looks like we're having, maybe not. We're not having a problem. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I apologize for the little problem there with the music file. But, you know, music files, like people, sometimes get up on the wrong side of the bed. So maybe, I don't know what happened. But let's say hello to Maria de la Milera. How are you?
Fine, Silvio. Thank you so much for inviting us again to the program. We really enjoy telling everybody the wonderful news about Operation Pedro Pan Group, Inc.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're going to get into that in a minute. You're going to bring us up to date on all the activities and all the events. As I mentioned, you are second vice president in the organization.
Right.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the other people on the board of directors.
We have many good people who have been working in the board of directors of Operation Petropan for many years. And now I feel like, you know, that cigarette ad that says, "We've come a long way, baby." I feel the same way about the organization, because now we are realizing, we are seeing the changes and how the community is reacting to our history. Because definitely,
right,
especially in the area where we live, Miami-Dade County, where it was the site where so many of us were going through this exodus, and we were going through the task of growing and learning a new country and learning to love this country and appreciate it. So this site here in Miami-Dade County is very historical, as are the other sites where we were sent. California, I was sent to California. Many of the other children were sent to different locations in the United States. We consider those places very historical because they were part of our exodus. And
that's right. And just to refresh everyone's memory, the Petropan program, just to, I know many of our listeners, many of them Cuban Americans or regular listeners, have heard some of our shows before, but for those who may be listening for the first time or who may need a little refresher, Petropan, the Petropan program was a program that began in 1960, I believe, and went all the way up to the summer of 62. And the amazing thing about this program is that 14,000 unaccompanied children left Cuba and, as you say, found their way to Miami, and in some cases to other parts of the country. I've seen some programs where some young ladies were even transferred to Buffalo.
I ended up in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles orphanage.
Well, tell me a little bit about your story.
It is the largest exodus of unaccompanied children in the Western Hemisphere.
Why don't you, Maria, tell us about your story? Take a minute and tell us your story of when you left Cuba and how you left and where you ended up.
Okay. I left Cuba in 1962. I was one of the ones the last ones to arrive. I and a sister who was 13 years old, and I was 15 at the time, arrived here on July 13, 1962. And we, you know, contrary to the many notions that a lot of people are saying, and notions that even the Cuban government is trying to make it look like it was a CIA operation. We were never a CIA operation. I remember kneeling before my mother and asking and begging her to please let me go, because actually I was suffocating in Cuba. I could not live in the country where you could not speak, where you could not act. I mean, I had a beautiful childhood in the Cuba that I remember so dearly. And it was a very, very drastic change to what happened after Castro came over. So I really begged my mother to let me come, and she arranged all the paperwork, and we were here in the blink of an eye. Once we got here, we stayed with a relative for a few months before we were sent to California, to a house that was meant for girls who were about 18 years or older. When we arrived in California, the Archdiocese realized that those girls were 18 years and we were 15, and we could not remain in that house. So the Archdiocese then tried to place us in either a foster home or an orphanage. But when they came to see us, I asked them whether we would be able to to be together, my sister and I. And they said, "Well, if you go to a foster home, it would be very difficult for us to keep you together." So I decided, no, we're going to an orphanage, because that way we'll be able to keep together. And we stayed in that orphanage in Los Angeles, which is called Maryvale, which was it has four buildings, and it had children, girls from different ages. Well, I was placed in the building with the oldest girls. My sister was placed in another building, but we were in the same complex. I learned a lot in the orphanage. I think I probably learned there more than I could ever learn in any university, because I was taught by those girls who came from different walks of life and who had a dysfunctional came from dysfunctional families. They taught me about what life was like, and the nuns were the ones who advised me, because they saw that I was in a state of shock when I first arrived. A little girl from Lestonac school who was walked to school, who was very sheltered, who never knew anything bad about life. All of a sudden, you see yourself in a situation where you are exposed to the experiences that some of these girls unfortunately went through. And so in the beginning, I was in a state of shock. And the Daughters of Charity, who were the nuns who were caring for us at the orphanage, talked to me and made me realize, listen, you need to talk to these girls and you need to let them know that there is a perfect life somewhere, because you had a beautiful childhood, you talk to them about your childhood. You tell them that there are families that are good families that have good experiences, so that they don't feel that life is all bad. And then you need to learn from them, because once you get out of this orphanage, you're going to have to deal with life, and you need to learn how to defend yourself and how to be out in the outside world. So I did that, exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot, and I appreciate it, and I give thanks to God every day, because my experience, it was a very hard experience, just like it was for all of us, Pedro Pan, but I really learned so much that I learned in the orphanage is what really molded me for what has been my professional life. And I've been working, the majority of the years I've been working have been in public service, because I have this, you know, this vocation of trying to help people, and that I learned at the orphanage.
That's great, and I think this is...
So it was an experience that taught me a lot, and there are many stories of Pedro Pan who can tell you that they are the way they are and I am the way we are because of that experience that we had. And I'm very proud to say we have many, many good Pedro Pans in all over the United States. But we have some here in the community that have recently died, and they are being recognized for the many contributions that they have made to our community. One of those individuals is Ralph Sanchez, who last Friday, July 12th, they dedicated a street and also had a very nice ceremony for him in the sports complex in Homestead. Ralph was the one who brought the Grand Prix to Miami-Dade County. He worked very hard for many, many years to have the race cars here in Miami. And he started them in the city of Miami, and then they moved into Homestead, where they were able to build this huge sports complex that it was his creation, it was his effort, and he finally was recognized for all of the contributions that he had made to our community. We have individuals like Mel Martinez, our senator, who also contributed a lot to this community. He continues to contribute now, too. We also have people like Armando Codina, who is someone who's very well recognized for the many successes that he has had. So, we have individuals, we all know Willie Chirino and his wife, Lizette. We have individuals who made us proud. And people say, I don't know what it's about the Pedro Pans that you people push yourself and that you get ahead. And so it's not that we want to get ahead. It's just that we were taught to fight very early in our life to establish ourselves. And we did that, and many of us recognize it, and I recognize that we did that all for freedom. And we so much appreciate the fact that we live in a free country, that we were given the opportunity, that has created a commitment on our part to do for our community as much as we can, and to help children who might be in the same situation that we found ourselves a few years back, because that's our purpose, that's our mission. So we are very dedicated people who try to make a life a little better for especially children who might be unaccompanied, who might be alone, and also teach our history. Because our history is a very beautiful history, very hard history. I'm a mother and a grandmother, and it's just like everybody says, I don't know if I would have done the same thing if I were in, the, in those shoes. But I think our parents went through such a big sacrifice so that we could live in a free country. And,
I think you're exactly right about that, Maria. You're exactly right. And I think this is why number one, I think as I said before, I think the parents, the grandparents who made these sacrifices, who made the decision to let their children leave and come to the United States. You know, I sometimes wonder if I would have been able to do it. You know, I don't know. You never know until you're in that situation. You know, unless you're in that situation, I often wonder, you know, I think of the, you know, the amazing thing about Pedro Pan, you know, I think about what it must have been like for some of the little children to get on that plane. You know, sometimes these children were 6, 7, 8 years old. I know sometimes they had older brothers and sisters, but still, the idea of getting on that plane, landing in Miami, that first night without your parents, that all of that had to be very, very difficult for not only the kids here, but for the parents back in Cuba. So I think this
there's
is
a time when we were making a presentation of the Pedro Pan Exodus, and there were children in the audience, and I remember there was this little kid who was probably about 3 to 4 years old, and he was listening to what we were saying, and we were telling them, actually we were in Matecumbe, and we were telling everybody in Matecumbe, which was one of our campaments, you know, how was life in Matecumbe. And the little boy was sitting right next to his mom, and he says, Mom, you mean to tell me they did not have their father or mother with them? And so the mother said, no, that's right. Their mother and father left, you know, allowed them to leave Cuba so that they could live in a free country. And the guy just hugged his mother. He said, oh, mommy, I don't think I could ever be without you. And he was 3 or 4 years old. And some of our kids were that old, you know. So it is something that was very hard, especially because I could understand. I was the one who asked my mother. I begged my mother to let me come. But there were kids who were very young who didn't understand what was happening and couldn't feel the oppression that I felt because they were a lot younger. So they all of a sudden, they saw themselves, they saw their parents, put them in a plane and send them here. And to them, it might have been very, very difficult to understand because at that age, you don't assimilate the oppression and the climate that you had in Cuba.
This is a very important point, Maria, that you were a little, well, I think you were 15, you said, right, when you left.
15.
And 15. There's a big difference between a 15-year-old, obviously, and a 6 or 7-year-old. Even a 12-year-old, a big difference. And in your case, you know, I take it from some of the other interviews that we've done that you were probably a very mature 15-year-old girl you know, probably could see through what was happening in Cuba. And obviously, you missed your family, obviously. But it's when you're 6 or 7, I mean, how much can you really know about what's going on? So I think this is a very important part of our history as it now becomes a Cuban American history, where we now have you know, one of the reasons, by the way, I mean, kind of getting back to the book that I wrote. One of the reasons that I wrote the book is not so much because I wanted to tell my sons our story, and my story was not that heroic or anything like that. But I feel that it's very important what you folks are doing at Pedro Pan. I think it's very important for more and more Cubans like us who came here to write their stories so that they can pass it on to their kids, so that we have a library of stories, so that kids, you know, I mean, you got little Cuban kids being born today to Cuban American parents born in Miami. So it's like, you know, you begin to lose the connection with the beginning, and I think it's important to tell the story. Well, tell me about a couple of other things. We got about 5 minutes, and tell me about a couple of other things that you're doing right now. You mentioned about the street that was named.
They have had many streets designated, like in the city of Hialeah, Miami Lakes, Florida City, where we had a historical marker placed because Florida City was one of the camps where we had girls staying when they came into Pedro Pan Exodus. We also have a monument in the city of Miami. And we're working in trying to get other city, other streets designated for the Operation Pedro Pan. We're also trying to work in trying to do something with Matecumbe, because that is actually the first one of the first campaments that were open, and there's a lot of history there. So we have one of our county commissioners has very generously invited us to work with him to try to see if we can create a good park in Matecumbe where the history of the Pedro Pan Exodus can be also viewed and seen. So we're working in making sure that we do leave markers for the future so that when we are gone, the history still persists.
Right. And this is very important,
by the way. One of my grandchildren was asking me the other day, I have six grandchildren, and one of them was asking me, you know, about Pedro Pan, because, you know, to them it's also, it was very difficult. And someone asked me, why didn't the Pedro Pan start telling their story before? And I was telling that person, you know, to us, it was an adjustment to our life. And I think that now that we are getting better in years, I'm not saying we're getting older, we're saying we're getting better in years, we realize that unless we tell our story, it could just be forgotten, and we just need to make sure. And we thank you for writing the story, too, because, I mean, this is what we need. We need everybody to be able to share their experiences, because for someone who was born in this country, who was never exposed to any type of tyranny or any type of government like the one we've experienced, it's very difficult to understand what life was like for a Cuban.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right about that, Maria. And one of the reasons, you know, for example, other people have written books about our obviously Carlos Eyre, who was also a Pedro Pan, has written a book. So a lot of people have been, and I wish that more Cubans would take the time to write the book. And if nothing else, tell their stories so that their children, their grandchildren understand how we got here. What does it mean to be Cuban? I mean, I'm not trying to say that we're better than anybody else, but there is something very unique about being Cuban, Cuban-American, and that's something that I think we have a chance to tell our children. We have a chance through your organization, Pedro Pan, to leave something. If nothing else, you've got something there that future generations, you know, maybe someday in the future you can have a little boy or a little girl take a tour at school of your offices or of your building and say, hey, this is where my grandmother or my great-grandmother came into the country. I think that's a beautiful thing and something that we should be encouraging more and more. Well, we've got about a minute left. Is there anything that we didn't cover? Anything that that we forgot to put on the table?
I wanted to say, because I feel very strong about it, is the great message that all of the Pedro Pans want to send to everybody who lives in this country is that freedom is precious. And we paid a very difficult price to be here because we were seeking to be living in a country like this. So our message is do take care of your country, do love your country, and do appreciate it, because there is nowhere in the world that you can live like you live here in the United States.
You're exactly right about that. You're exactly right.
And we need to keep it like that.
We need to keep it free.
Thank you so much, Silvio. I hope to talk to you again in the future.
You have a wonderful evening, and thanks to you and Carmen and everybody at the Pedro Pan organization
I forgot to mention that Carmen Valdivia is our president, who's doing an outstanding job, and Carmencita Romanech is our immediate past president, who did an outstanding job when she was president. We have good people there, and even people who have been there for a long time, like Paco Echeverria, who has been a member of the board for many years, and Juan Pujol, who was member until recently, John Curiel. Those individuals have been in organization for many years, and they don't give up. They continue there, and they continue contributing. We are very blessed to have the leadership that we have in our board of directors.
Absolutely. Maria, thank you so much for joining me tonight, and say hello to everybody at the Pedro Pan organization from me.
All right. Thank you, Flavio.
All right. We're going to take a little break, and we will be back with a closing commentary right after this. Thank you, Maria. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas, Texas. Always a great honor to talk to our friends down at Pedro Pan. You know, I just made me a note here that over the last 2 weeks, we've had three Pedro Pans as guests of our program. Carlos Eide, we spoke with him a couple of weeks ago about an article that he wrote in Babalu. Amarilis Gassio, we had her on with Fernando Hernandez just last Friday. We were talking about the Cuban-American experience. So I think that, you know, we believe it's very important. I think it's very important for us to preserve the Cuban-American legacy. Some of it, of course, it's obvious, and some of it our kids are going to pick up just because they hear it from us and all of that. But I think it's very important that we write books and that we do what our friends at Pedro Pan are doing, which is to, you know, going back to some of the places, some of the parks, some of the places where they were sent to, some of the different camps and all of that that they were sent to, and they're going back and they're sort of reconnecting and taking their children. I think that's very important. That's extremely important to the legacy of anything, especially the legacy of something as special as the Pedro Pan organization. Just a quick heads up about our show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about U.S. Latin America with an emphasis on Mexico. We're going to be joined by Alan Wall, who has just been to Mexico, and he's going to be writing, telling us about some of the articles that he wrote, some of the impressions that he had of Mexico. Of course, we're also going to be joined by Fausto Wirtz and by Michael Prada, our two regulars on that show when we do the U.S. Latin America. Again, my thanks to Maria de la Milera for joining me tonight. She's a wonderful lady, and Pedro Pan is just an absolutely wonderful organization. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas.